All right. This is Mike Slavin, writer of Down the Rabbit Hole, core team member at High Existence. And in this solo cast, I'm going to be talking about why procrastination is the conversation you're unwilling to have with yourself. Now, procrastination is basically universal experience. And it's experienced in varying degrees. For some people, it's more extreme than others, more difficult, and sort of more chronic. But most people encounter it. And there is a way of approaching procrastination that can support you in resolving it with more efficiency and effectiveness and grace. And there are ways of making it more terrible and difficult to endure. And in this little session with you, I'm going to describe some of the ways I've come to relate to procrastination so that I can move past these blocks that are keeping me from performing the tasks that I want to perform so that I can find peace in my time off. And this is what is really an important piece that I want to highlight, is that so often people get stuck in this cloud of resistance and friction, even when they aren't meant to be working and they're trying to unplug. There's that looming feeling that, I haven't done the thing that I need to be doing. And it might just be whispers in the background, but it often affects the body. You know, we just feel this sort of tension, and it can show up in the form of inner critic thought forms where we are judging ourselves for not having done the thing, all this kind of stuff. And it just sort of encroaches. You can't get away from it. So in not doing it, you still find yourself followed by these tasks. And the longer we avoid them, the more challenging and difficult it becomes to do them in a lot of cases, because we don't want to confront the shame of, wow, I really haven't done this thing. It's been so long since I've really addressed this, since I've tried to do it. So when we can get past that and we can actually move past procrastination when it surfaces, I'm not talking about, you know, healing 100% your experience of procrastination so that you never procrastinate again in your life. That seems unreasonable and probably not even a worthy aim, because it's not likely. Different things will happen, and these we'll encounter these resistance points and these spaces of friction within ourselves. So we're going to continue to procrastinate. It's going to happen. But when we have a process and a way of relating to procrastination when it does occur, so that we can move through these fields and patches of procrastination more effortlessly and more gracefully, well, we can save ourselves a lot of heartache and frustration. And we can also dramatically increase our effectiveness in the world. And we can more quickly bring to life the things that we feel are worth attending to and bringing to life. Because so often, a lot of these dreams that we have, real dreams, deep dreams, they are these things that we that exist out in the future, in the distance. And there are a number of these patches of procrastination that continuously keep us from making significant and substantial progress towards these dreams. We find ourselves just stuck in these patches of procrastination quicksand. So we find ourselves feeling down. I can't get past this. And then the dreams begin to drift, and the confidence that we have in ourselves to actually accomplish what we're setting out to accomplish diminishes. And that's a sad thing, because on a long enough timeline with enough persistence and invested care, you can accomplish mind-blowing things if you just remain committed and devoted to what you're trying to bring about, with the expectation that, yes, this will be difficult. This isn't going to be a walk in the park, but because it means something to me and because this matters, I'm willing to invest my energy into it. Okay. So when we, you know very well, if you're continuing to listen right now, the frustration that can come from these chronic modes of procrastination, and you must intuit what it might feel like to be able to resolve these experiences more quickly, how liberating that would feel and how exciting it would feel to sense yourself making real substantial progress towards your aims, you know, faster than you could have imagined before, because you know that, oh yeah, I'm going to procrastinate. And you may have even built this into your identity in some ways, that I tend to procrastinate. I'm a procrastinator. But that doesn't need to be a part of your identity. We can find ways of moving past this. Okay. So I'm going to share some frames that will be useful for you to entertain so that you can take a different perspective on what procrastination is. Because oftentimes when I talk with people, and I used to relate to it this way myself, procrastination is treated as an obstacle to overcome. It is this thing out in the world that I need to jump over, you know, find my way over. It's a hurdle. It's this thing standing in my way. And if I could just overcome it, then I could get past it and I could focus on and bring my attention to, the things I really need to be tackling. But this procrastination just gets in the way. So I just need to overcome it. And I think that's an improper frame, because it situates procrastination as this force that's sort of outside of us that we're pushing up against. It's this external object, in a way, that I'm trying to overcome out in the world, and I'm just pushing up against. And so you relate to it as this hurdle. You can even think of it in those terms, this thing I'm just trying to jump over and get past. And here's the problem with that. The problem is that procrastination isn't this object out in the world, isn't this external force. It's an internal force. And more than that, it's not just a force, it's a part of ourself. It's an aspect of ourself that isn't on board with the task for whatever reason. And there could be numerous reasons. And some of those reasons might be irrational. Some of them might be very rational. And some of them might only be rational in certain contexts. But it's a part of ourself. And it's a part of ourself that we've been rendering as this just inconvenient aspect that is just, if I could just only get past this. And so part of the frame that I'm inviting is the actual recognition that you're not trying to overcome your procrastination. You're trying to facilitate the conversation between you and this other part that you've been previously treating as if it's just something to overcome. You can even visualize it in your mind, taking this hurdle that you're trying to jump over and seeing it as a part of yourself that you've been demanding get on all fours so you could jump over. It's dehumanizing in a way. There's more to it than that. So the relationship we should have to this can be more compassionate and more inviting of the nuance and the subtlety that the part of you that's resisting might be holding on to. Okay? So then we move from jumping over to hurdle to recognizing this is actually a wrestling match. I'm wrestling with this part of myself. Okay? So in that wrestling, in this fighting, this force, this friction back and forth, I need to be able to step into a space where I'm willing to entertain the values of both sides. I have to stop myself from just identifying with only the one part of me, the part of me that is wanting to do the thing. So it's important. I know that this task is important, this thing that I have to do. And I want to do it, but I'm procrastinating. Okay, so I'm in touch with the value of why I want to do it. So I have to ask myself and really listen. Why is it I don't want to do it? What's going on? Maybe there's some fear. Maybe I'm afraid of what might happen when I do it. And that could be I'm going to fail and I don't want to feel that rejection. And so I'm digging my heels in because I don't want us to experience that. Maybe I've experienced it in the past. And I don't want to do that, so I dig my heels in. Or maybe it's the fear of success even. What happens if, you know, this works really well, this thing that I'm supposed to be doing? And, you know, say for instance, trying to start a new business, to ground this in a concrete example. A lot of people have aspirations, you know, to start their own things. And they avoid it. And Part of that avoidance might be, wow, if I'm actually successful here, this will change everything. This will remove me from my zone of comfort, you know, quite dramatically. The status quo, the state of things as they are, you know, we have a sort of a tenuous balance there, and there could be a lot of ways that we're relating to our life that we really like. We like it as it is, and bringing in this new variable that could change everything, even though it's where we want things to change, at least a big part of us wants it to change in this way, that can feel very scary. And if we're not hearing the part of ourself that is feeling that fear, then what it values and what's important to it is not going to be accounted for. So it's going to dig its heels in, not want to lose what it holds dear. There are other things as well that can promote the sort of wrestling and this conflict, this internal conflict. And that is a resistance to the way this part's being treated. It's the demanding sort of tyrannical nature of this other part, the coercion. You know, sometimes self-sabotage is justified because that part of you that's sabotaging yourself is rebelling against a tyrannical relationship that you've cultivated inside. And it's saying, no, I do not want to be treated this way, and I'm not going to be on board, and I'm not going to do these things that you want me to do if this is how you're going to treat me. I refuse to be treated this way. And that's what promotes the sort of the wrestling match. It isn't even necessarily about the task, but it's about how they're being treated in the context of the task. Okay? So this is where you see it's like, it's about facilitating a healthier relationship to the various parts of ourself that have different demands, different wants, different values, and integrating them so that we can be a unified front, okay? So in facilitating this conversation, we allow ourselves to actually process and create a higher definition image of what it is we're really wanting to be doing. Because when we're in the sort of wrestling match phase, there's a part of us that is just disconnected from other important values that we hold. And we're just blind to it because for some reason we're fixated on accomplishing this task. So we want to bring on board the values that the part of us that is resisting is holding and making sure that that part is being taken care of. So if it's fear, then it's like, look, you know, if you're afraid of the success happening, then I, you know, we're going to be able to move slowly through this. I'm always going to be checking in with myself, you know, and if you're talking to like this other part of you, then you might say, well, I'm checking in with you about how you're doing and how you're feeling. And you know, we're going to do this together. So you're kind of cultivating this relationship internally where parts of you feel like they aren't going to be left behind in the dirt, while this other part of you just charges on forward, not caring about, you know, these values that are being held. And you can explore and experiment with this through various ways of capturing the perspective. So you got to allow yourself to entertain these perspectives and try to entertain them fully. So you might do a journaling session where you occupy one spot, the resistant part, and then you occupy the part that really is eager to do the thing, and take turns communicating in your journal, going back and forth, addressing these different parts. That's something that is worth considering. You could also do recording audio notes or a video. You can use different formats, but giving yourself the space to really entertain the perspective fully and fully flesh it out and express. You could even have a friend listen to you where you share both sides and you spend time addressing both sides. You could, you know, sitting on a couch and sit on one side facing the other side of the couch and speak from a certain perspective, and then switch it up and sit on the other side of the couch speaking back to the other person to facilitate. And that might be something you use if you're really having a hard time. You can try on different things to facilitate this conversation. But once you bring it together and you find yourself able to deeply listen to both sides and integrate the values, the interests, the desires, the hopes of both sides, then you can move forward from a place of deep integration and not inner conflict. Sometimes people just force themselves, they will themselves through the thing, and they leave a ton of themselves behind in the process. And what does this lead to? This leads to burnout. This is not a sustainable approach. It can create extreme productivity gains in a short period of time, but eventually these parts that have been discarded and left into the dust are going to create tremendous emotional problems, and you're just not going to have the full capacity, the full energy, because you've disregarded, you know, so much of yourself. And this will actually, in a lot of cases, become reflected in the external world and how your relationships occur, how you deal with people, how you relate to others. Because so often, you know, there are ways that we will relate to ourselves that become mirrored in the world. Now, this isn't always the case. I'm hesitant to agree or abide by these sort of new age beliefs that, you know, the world is a mirror. You know, it's like there are ways in which it can be reflective, but it's not just a mirror. Just when you're seeing someone who's doing something in the world or treating you poorly, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a lesson in that for you to learn, or that this is your subconscious coming to you to teach you something. They could just be treating you poorly. And so we don't need to continue to subject ourselves to poor treatment in order to, keep finding these lessons that exist in these contexts that are just not healthy, right? That's a bit of a tangent. But through facilitating this conversation, the conversation we're unwilling to have with ourselves, we can move from that wrestling match and move into dancing, where there is harmony and there's co-creative power, where rather than being in conflict, we're now working together to create something beautiful. And the enjoyment of the process is opened up there as well. We're not just forcing ourselves through to get to some other side where we make it to the other side, but we've left so much of us behind that we now struggle with this internal turmoil because we don't feel good about ourselves because the way we've been treating ourselves has been improper and inappropriate. But if we're dancing, we get to this place of harmony where we're working together with these different parts of ourself and sort of bringing together the values that are meaningful to us, then we can enjoy the process and we can do so much more because we're not losing so much energy by being in conflict with these different parts of ourself. So this is the move. We move from externalizing procrastination as this force that I just need to overcome, not realizing that it's a part of myself, and then moving from there to, oh yeah, this is a wrestling match. I need to listen to these different parts of myself. Otherwise, this friction is going to be chronic. And it's going to completely inhibit my ability to use my full energy. And I need to have this dialogue. I need to work with these pieces and kind of get to the bottom of this. And then you move into this great state of dancing, acting in harmony. Now, this is wonderful because it just frees you up to have these dreams, but also enjoy the process. And when you're not enjoying the process, you can begin to facilitate these conversations. You can hold the parts of yourself that are in fear and supply courage to those parts and protection to those parts from the stronger parts of you. There's a lot of emotional intelligence that gets cultivated through this process. And that's what's beautiful is by going through this process, we deepen our relationship to ourself. And this becomes one of the most profound gifts we can give ourselves. Pursuing our dreams is obviously a profound gift, but in pursuit of those dreams, by deepening and strengthening the relationship that we have to ourselves, it enables us to imagine even deeper, more beautiful dreams that we can pursue. And so there's a really beautiful process here, and it's not about arriving at a permanent state of dancing, because that's just not how this works. It's about moving through the process and recognizing, right now I'm disidentifying with this part of myself that's actually a wrestling match. I'm in this conflict. Let me have this conversation. Let me welcome this part in. Let me understand what's going on here. And just moving through that process. So we're not just trying to be permanently dancing. We want to move into that space as best we can to move with harmony and grace, but we're not always just going to be there automatically. So don't set that expectation for yourself. Okay? So this is my little riff on how I view procrastination and how you know, you can begin to relate to it differently so that you can move past these obstacles that you probably relate to them as obstacles right now, but they're actually a part of the path, right? This is an important aspect of the journey, whatever journey you're on, bringing yourself into deeper integration and having these conversations so that there is a real capacity and trust and compassion that exists inside the system that you are. So with all that said, I hope that you find it useful. Hopefully you can, if there's a task that you have in mind that you have been procrastinating on, use this insight and do one of the exercises, you know, do the journaling, the audio notes, the video, have a friend listen to you, whatever it might be, and apply it, because through the implementation, you'll get the value out of it. Otherwise, it just remains head knowledge and some cool stuff that you heard somebody talk about, hopefully cool stuff. But if you really want to get the value out of it, you have to put it into practice. So I encourage you to do that. Identify something that you're procrastinating on and go through this process and see what it's like for you. It might take some time to really find your footing. But as you do it, you'll get more comfortable and you'll get better and better at it. Okay? So with that said, I hope that you have a great day and look out for more High Existence solo cast, podcast. We have a lot of great stuff coming down the pipeline and can't wait to share that with you. Okay, thank you very much.